Wes Moss, your host here every Sunday morning, 9 to 11 today. Your calls, your questions answered right here. Phone lines open, 404-872-0750. You're cruising around, headed to church. Maybe you're going to play golf before it rains tomorrow. Maybe you are headed up to some sort of lacrosse tournament where I'll be as soon as I'm out of here today. Moving kids all around the city. Yesterday we had lacrosse, let's say, at 9, one at 11, one at 2:30, soccer game at 4. But that's what you get when you've got a bunch of kids. And I happened to, through the toss of a coin, ended up with boys, all of them, four of them. So as you can imagine, it's one sporting event after another, over and over. That's my demographics, and that's what we're talking about today here, Money Matters. What's the future look like? I can't tell you if the next week is going to be good or bad in markets. It's been just an amazing plod forward. You know, the statistically, this has been a very interesting year for stocks because we haven't had any giant moves higher in any given day. So it's not like we've had a 500-point up day on the Dow. We haven't had any giant down days either. So we've gone a year in markets, and this is measured by the S&P 500 without a 3%. That's it. Percent correction. I mean, it's just been a very placid lake. And we've just slowly plotted higher, seemingly week after week after week after week. This week, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 2% for the week. S&P 500 just shy of 1%. S&P 500 for the year up 15%. For the year, 10-year Treasury trades at just above 2.25, so just around 2.4% is what you can lend money to the U.S. government, and you get 2.4% per year for 10 years. That's the 10-year Treasury. So that's what's happening in this market. Standard & Poor's trading at if you look at multiples or what it's trading at relative to earnings, a 12-month earnings multiple of 18.7, depending on how you measure this. This is a 12-month forward earning multiple. 15, that's on the higher range or higher end of what we've seen over the last 15 years. For U.S. investors pulled about $36 billion out of U.S. stock and mutual funds in the third quarter. So that's what's happening as far as the United States markets. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're talking about the foundation of what drives economies, and that's what our population trends look like. That's the best predictor of the, quote, future that we can get. And it's a longer-term view. It's a 10 and 20 and 30-year view. We're looking at the various population studies, all compiled by the Ned Davis Research Group, that give us a real window over the next three decades. So a lot of these numbers are from today into the next three decades out to 2050, 25-0, what economies are growing, what economies are shrinking, what does the age look like in these economies, and then, of course, how that drives economic growth and markets. That's what really matters to you. Hey, Wes, what does the demographics really mean for me? Well, it gives you cover. It gives me the conviction to continue to be an investor in certain economies. If I know that we have favorable demographic trends underlying for the next 5 years and 10 years in a particular economy, that's a really important thing to know and understand because it drives investment returns over time, or at least it's a big contributor to investment returns. Sure, there's lots of other things that happen. There's new technological advances. There's companies that eat other companies' lunch. There's politics, there's tax reform or the lack thereof, there's healthcare reform or the lack thereof. So there are all these, there's of course a tremendous amount of variables and factors, but if you look at the force of demographics, it's almost as though it's a tide or a sense, it's a gravitational force that either propels economies higher or drags economies lower. And that's why I want you to understand this, to help you be a better investor, make better or more informed decisions. And that's exactly what today's topic here is. Now, as this relates back to your specific situation, maybe you're wrestling with Wes, I've got an offer from a company that just said, look, you know, you've been here 25 years, 27 and a half years, and you've done a great job, but they're a bunch of young kids that we can pay a lot less, and quite frankly, in a very nice way, we'd like you to leave. We'd like you to exit the door, exit the building, and we're going to give you some money to do that. We're going to incentivize you to do that. We're going to give you a, quote, package. And the package is that we're going to do everything you thought it was going to happen at 65. It's going to happen at 59 instead. And now you're saying to yourself, okay, they're going to give me this big lump sum of money. I'm going to roll it into my IRA, or they're going to give me a couple grand a month for the rest of my life to do it. What is a better deal? Should I take the $22.50 a month, or should I take the $500,000? I don't know what the better deal is, because from company to company, and there's not a week goes by where I don't talk to a family that's working on this very decision. What's a better deal for you and your family? And I go back to, and of course I'm talking about lump sum versus pension. I go back to the article I wrote for ClarkHoward.com that talks about the 6% test. I want your monthly pension amount to be at least 6% of the value, or the monthly pension times 12, so the annual amount, 6% of that lump sum number, in order to consider taking the monthly amount. There's a lot of arguments to go both directions. Take the lump sum that's money for you and your family forever. Nobody can take it away from you. Or if you've got a lot of other liquid investments, maybe it's better to take the monthly amount. Maybe this is you have a question about your Roth IRA, or it's some sort of inheritance question, or maybe not even inheritance. Maybe it's now you're the trustee, you're in charge of new money for the family. And you have a question about what that responsibility means and where do you go from here? Maybe it's just an aging parent and you're worried about all the cyber crime that we're faced with every single day in our life. It's not just Yahoo hacked at 3 billion users. It's Equifax at 143 million users. It's your financial institution that's getting its attempted hacks every single day, multiple times a day. Hackers from around the world are trying to get into these systems and trying to effectively drain your accounts. Right now, fortunately, the big custodians like Fidelity, Schwab, Vanguard, they have got highly trained, extensive groups of people that protect against that. That's the good news. You've got a lot of people working for you to prevent this, but it's also a scary world. How do you prevent How do you protect yourself? These are all topics we're happy to answer here on Money Matters. Have you made the switch to income? Do you have a portfolio that generates dividends from the stock piece of the equation, interest from various bonds, and then distributions from all sorts of areas, real estate, pipeline companies, energy pipeline companies? Do they add up to 3%, 2.5%, 3%, 3.5%? And is that a steady trickle of income for you once you stop working? Are you an income investor? Do you understand that piece of the equation for you and your family? If not, we're happy to talk that through and maybe just give you some direction for your particular situation. You can go ask your advisor about it. You can come ask us about it, but you got to ask somebody about it. And that's why that is such an important theme week in and week out here on Money Matters. So, good morning. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Phone lines open 404-872-0750. Give us a call in the studio if you're on the road, headed to church, golf, brunch, you name it, sports. Ryan Ely here with me every Sunday morning to take your calls, understand your question, and then patch that through to me. And we're happy to do it. It's the fun part about Money Matters. We love doing it. Again, the number here in the studio is 404-872-0750. We've got the 10 o'clock hour. We love to take your calls and questions. That's the fun part of Money Matters. The number, if you're outside of Georgia and you'd like to do it toll free, of course, Texas, Michigan, California, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, the number here in the studio, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Happy to take your calls and questions. It's the fun. I think it's the most interesting part about Money Matters. Second, maybe only to demographics, which is what we love to talk about today. Now, we talked about this topic of we looked at population is slow, growth is slowing. We are aging as a globe from a population perspective. But herein lies the nuance of demographics. I think is so important. And this is, there's a lot of economic research from this, but this is an economic study, a research study by Bloom and Canning on the increasing growth rate of the working age population as a share of total population. That's so important. And this study shows that as the total population, as this population, the working age, you call the mature working age, so folks that are 35 to mid-50s, let's say, that piece of the population, as that share of the total population grows by one percentage point, it increases per capita GDP by almost 1.5 percentage points. So it's a really important sliver of demographic information that you've got to understand here, that we're trying to uncover here, that really matters. So it's been proven that there's a very positive relationship between economic growth long-term and working age or mature working age population. And that's exciting. They rise together. So we actually want to see population grow of the working age. That's what really matters. So let's talk this through. So the mature working age population, why does that help the economy? Well, number one, as this portion of the economy grows, it's a resource base that is actually producing at a better and faster rate. It's a more productive rate. And just think of it, think about this in your own career. Are you, when you get better and more productive, was it from 35 to 40 that you really hit your stride, or 40 to 45? Or was it when you went from age 25 to age 28? Think about the leaps and bounds you make as you get to be pretty darn good at your given career, given industry. You really, those productivity gains come as you are more mature in your overall career. So there's a real tailwind when that piece of the population gets better and better. Another reason for that, why that population or the mature working age population really adds to economic growth, is the kids either move out or they get old enough to effectively allow you to become more productive. You get back to saving and investing. You can invest more in education, more in resources. You pay more taxes to your community. And all of this helps push economic growth. All right, we're going to run quick news, weather, traffic. We're going to come back. We're talking demographics. We've got a lot of great calls on hold. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
Atlanta's 24-hour news button is News 95.5. And Monday in Atlanta's morning news, the Atlanta mayor's debate, the budget fight in Congress, and a chance of showers and storms to start the week, at Kirk Mellish's five-day forecast on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters, 404-872-0750. When we get to the next half hour, at the bottom of the half hour, we're going to go to the MY ratio, the maturity young ratio, and demographics, what it means for stock markets, which countries look good, which countries do not, as our continued coverage of the demographic trends over the next 10, 20, 30 years in America. But first, the phones. Deborah joins us on the line from Atlanta. Deborah, what's going on? How can I help? Deborah, you with me?
Hello.
Hello. Yes, hey. You're on the air. It's Wes. What's up? How's it going?
Fine. I have a father, 85 years old. He has about $160,000 sitting in a bank savings account, which doesn't, you know, do anything. And he doesn't want to put the money in the stock market. So he's just wondering, we were wondering about the online banks that high-yield savings, like American Express.
American Express, Ally Bank, those banks, you know, it's funny. Those are legitimate vehicles to use. The answer is, if your question is, are they safe? The answer is yes. I still don't love using them because I've always used brokerage firms like Charles Schwab or Fidelity or Vanguard that have more investment-oriented options. But that's no different because your money's in and on. Effectively, you log in, your money's at Schwab or Fidelity or Vanguard. It's still, for the most part, an online relationship with a big custodian or big bank. And using an American Express or using an Ally that's going to pay you 1.5% on your money sitting there, 1.25%, 1%. I know it's not a ton, Deborah, for your dad, mm-hmm. but it's if it's just going to sit there and he doesn't want to invest it in markets, then yeah, at least you're getting some use out of that money. And oh, by the way, the Federal Reserve is certainly on a path to raising interest rates. You're going to probably see another interest rate hike in December. Mm-hmm. You'll see one or two of them probably in 2018. That means money market rates for those online banks, they're going to continue to go up. So it's not going to be just 1%. It'll probably be 1.25%, 1.5%, potentially 2%.
Well, Schwab doesn't have anything to offer like that.
They don't have a great money market. It's more of an investment-oriented platform when you're in Schwab. So if you're just going to leave it in cash, I think those online banks that are FDIC insured are a really good option. Money matters. More money. We're going to go quick news, weather, traffic, then more study of demographics and your calls and questions right here. News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. The study of demographics, what it means for markets, economies around the world. The ratio of mature working age, that population means so much for economic growth and how that relates back to the stock market. We're going to talk about that as we go through this half hour. I want to get to phones, though. The number here in the studio, your calls, your questions. We're going to go to the phones right now. Number here, 404-872-0750. Give us a buzz or give us a call here. We're happy to talk through your financial questions. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to go to Sean, who joins us on the line from Atlanta. Sean, what's going on? How can I help?
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I've got a great, I guess, moral debate more than anything else. Ooh. I spent 10 years teaching high school, automotive, got out of it because obviously money wasn't great. Got into corporate America, doing well, $75,000 an hour, possibility of making $100,000 here in the next year.
In corporate, Sean, in corporate America, though, right? So you're...
Correct.
Got it. And what, are you in teacher's retirement system? Are you talking about the state of Georgia here?
No, actually, I live in the state of Michigan. I taught in the state of Michigan. I'm just on the road today.
Oh, got it. Okay. And I'm pretty familiar with Michigan. I go to Holland every year. My wife's family is from Michigan, and we've got a couple teachers within her family over in Portage and other areas. So mm-hmm. some extent, I'm familiar with Michigan, or ironically or just coincidentally, as you're driving through Georgia from Michigan. So okay, you're back in corporate America. You're making more money than you would have as a teacher. So keep going.
So the debate is if I go back and teach at the high school level, 5 years will get me a retirement in Michigan, and 10 years, so if I wait until I'm, 11 years, 60, 62, whatever the age is now, I could retire with a full pension, bigger than what I would have had if I leave in 5 years, and more importantly, health care. So as I sit here with my next job opportunity ahead of me, making possibly six figures, I'm debating, because if I don't go back and teach high school, I can't touch the money. So I have to do a minimum of 10 in Michigan. I've got 6 in Michigan, 4 in Illinois. So I have to do a minimum of 4 to get any kind of pension out of Michigan.
Got it. So you, okay. So you don't even have access to this yet until you hit the mark. What mark? Is it the 20-year mark or 15?
It's 10 years to be 10 years to be vested.
Okay, and how many years do you have in?
6 with Michigan, and I cannot transfer the 4 in from Illinois unless I do another 4 years in Michigan.
Got it. Okay, I got it. So then is it, when you do 4 years in Michigan, that's 10, but automatically then the 4 from Illinois will kick in and you'll be already at 14.
Correct.
Got it. And then, again, now what... If it's like teacher's retirement here in Georgia, you get to 20, and that's a pretty good benchmark for a pension. So then you would go another 6 years, and you would have a pretty significant pension. And I think Michigan is not that dissimilar from the state of Georgia.
Exactly.
So your debate, Sean, your main, so your debate is, do you take less money? This is pretty, this is a really fascinating question. Do you take a little less money to go back to teaching? You leave corporate America to get a future benefit. This is really a present value, future value calculation is what this question is. But I guess you said it's also a moral. What's the moral issue you have with this?
The moral question comes into the education standards that we have.
Oh, okay.
Aren't too different what I'm dealing with in corporate America. In other words, the effort put forth versus the effort required to maintain your position. Both are very similar in that I don't want to start a great educational debate, but I mean I could do a lot less in both jobs and still maintain my position. It's just not something I'm happy with because I want to give everything that I have for whatever I'm doing.
Let me go back to the money, and the question I guess is this: how much? So let's just say you're going to make $90,000 a year in the corporate America. You go back to the public world of teaching, and you go, what do you think you make per year? How big of a change is that? 60?
Depends on the school district. I 70? Turned down two offers last year because they were under 50. I had one opportunity to make 54 and go back to teaching public in Michigan, but the distance, the location just didn't work out, so I turned that one down as well. The big one is that currently in corporate America, at least in the big three, they generally will contract their employees out, and that's where I'm at now. So currently I have no job security, no stability, no 401k, healthcare expenses.
And Sean, the real crux of this question is, and no pension.
Exactly.
You've got no pension, and you're on the precipice of unlocking the power of the pension that you have with the state of Michigan, and then counting those years from Illinois. I can tell you, listen, I've done financial planning for, let's call it 1,000 or families or more. And there is something really special about the teachers I work with from the state of Georgia. And very often I've seen some of the same scenario where they may have taught in South Carolina and they're able to have years here in Georgia. There's been scenarios where you can even buy a year or two. And to get to these benchmarks, sounds a lot like Michigan and Illinois. And to get a pension that is, let's call it $2,000 a month, $2,500 a month, $3,000 a month, $3,500 a month is tremendously valuable. And I can tell you there's so much that, first of all, there's a lot of peace of mind with it, but it's also just at the end of all the final analysis, super valuable. And that's, I think, now that you, and how old are you, Sean?
50.
You're 50. I mean, you've got the next, call it 15 years to work. You're going to grind it out no matter where you are. It's hard economically not to make a case, even though you're going to make maybe $20,000 less, maybe even 25 less on top line, then you pay taxes, and you've paid federal, you pay Michigan. It's probably a difference of about $15,000. If you were to save $15,000 extra because you're making more in corporate America for the next 15 years, that's an extra $225,000. What is that worth to you in retirement? It's worth a little less than $1,000 a month, right?
Yeah.
So,
I've done the math. Almost calculated somewhere in the neighborhood of $5,000 a month, because if I go back to public education, I'm also going to get health care with my retirement.
Right. So we're looking at the future value of that uptick in your savings in the corporate sector. You're going to save an extra, let's say hypothetically, all goes well, you save an extra $15,000, because after taxes, you probably only save another $15,000. You do that for 15 years, it's $225,000. In the final analysis, let's say you're able to take on average over time 5% of that, which is arguably a little high even. That's $11,000 a year. Your pension between Michigan and Illinois, you'll be able to get to 20 plus years. It's going to be a heck of a lot more than that. It's going to be double, maybe triple that. So you would agree
it's almost a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer to go back and get those years in the state of Michigan.
If I could go back and find, and there are schools out there that will pay 60 some thousand, for my position and then finish my master's, I'm one class away from my master's, that would put me in a totally different tax bracket.
But that bumps you, if you get your master's there, and I think this is similar here in the state of Georgia, you bump up to what, in the 70s?
Almost, yeah, depending on the school district, yes.
Yeah, I think that for your long, so you're 50, you've got a, this is the hay, these are the haymaking years in retirement planning. And a lot of times I see it, it's families that say, okay, now the kids are pretty much out of the house, or at least they will be soon. Now we can save $5,000 a month. Tremendous amount of money, right? What you're right. going to be able to do, you can't do that in the corporate sector. You can maybe save an extra grand a month, right? But the pension itself is the equivalent of saving what you would need to do. Like it would be something like $5,000 a month. And the only way to really do that is what we've discussed here, and that's go back and get your years, get your teaching years in the state of Michigan. You'll end up with over 20, maybe 25, and retirement's going to look really, really good. Sean, thank you for your call. I know you're listening, driving through the state of Georgia. Fascinating call, and the power of a pension, particularly from the public sector, state of Georgia, state of South Carolina, state of Michigan, state of Illinois, just an amazing window into how important that can be in the haymaking years. All right, we've got only a few minutes left here, and I've got to get to this MI ratio. I know we've been talking about demographics, fascinating topic throughout Money Matters today, and let's go back to, so we've already established, look, the population of the globe continues to grow. It continues to age. But that's not necessarily a bad thing if the right segment of the population is growing. And that's this very important study within demographics, the working age or mature working age population. Now, why does that matter? Well, if the mature working age population, so let's call it age 35, when technically this research technically calls you being mature, all the way up to about mid-50s. It says that those are your most productive years. That's when you have the most productivity ramp up, hitting effectively your productivity stride. And that, as you can imagine, does a lot for the economy. Kids may be out of the house or more independent. Now moms can go back to work. Moms can go get more educated if they've been at home with kids. And then that adds to economic growth because we've got new people coming back into the workforce. So the working age population and productivity, they rise hand in hand. You could also simply put, we get better and more productive as we age between that two decade window, 35 to 55 or 35 to 54. And then evidently the wheels come off. I don't know why we supposedly stop at 54, but that demographically really helps. And so this is this clear, direct relationship between growth in the economy and the working age segment of the population. And, oh, by the way, stock market performance over the long run. So as the labor force continues to grow, this portion of it, so do equity markets in general. Remember, you hear that the U.S. labor force labor force participation is coming down. That's a percentage number. The actual aggregate number of workers in the workforce or labor force continues to grow in America. Now, this MI ratio, we've got to go quick with news, weather, traffic. When we come back, I want to close the loop here and finish out what the demographics really mean here in the United States, where we're headed over the next 10 to 20 years. Stay tuned. More Money Matters right here, WSB Radio, straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Right up at 11 o'clock, Monica Matthews here on WSB Radio, Eric Von Hessler from 12 to 2. And then we get ramped up for the mayoral debate coming up from 4:30 to 6 right here, WSB Radio. Ryan Ely, Prize Pack time. What's going on?
The WSB Weekend Prize Pack is a pair of tickets to see An Evening with Randy Newman on November 17th at Atlanta Symphony Hall and a family four-pack of tickets to an Atlanta Gladiators home game at Infinite Energy Arena. Caller number 11, this prize pack is yours.
What number, caller?
Number 11.
404-741-0750 for the prize line. Again, 404-741-0750. So let's get to this ratio of really productive workers. We think about this, we think of this in terms, we call it the my ratio, which is just mature to young ratio. And what number, what percentage of the population is that? And is it rising or falling? Well, it's getting better here in the United States. That's the good news. When the number of, when that group, the mature working age population, age 35 to 49 in this particular study, rises relative to the population of younger workers defined by age 20 to 34, stock markets go up. Equity markets tend to outperform or rise. It's been, the my ratio has been almost perfect in helping to identify the secular or long-term bull and bear markets since the 1950s. Here's the good news. The my ratio bottomed in the United States in 2016, and it has started to get better and better and better, and it's set to rise all the way into the year 2040. So we have 20 years of this demographic tailwind in the United States. It's really, that's good news for stocks. It's not the same though around the world. So the United Kingdom, UK, my ratio is set to fall until 2019. So we have there's still headwinds there for a few more years. In Germany, the my ratio is continuing to fall until 2021. You look at a place like India though, you've got this tremendous expansion of mature working population that rises all the way until 2050. That's good news. But a place like Japan, right now, the my ratio is decent. It's rising until 2022, and then it falls and falls and falls for over a decade. So there's a real disparity between these different economies and regions around the world. That's why demographics, which in my opinion really relates back to how does the population impact demand for everything that we consume and then what companies earn. That's what's so important. Thanks for listening to Money Matters today. A fun show, lots of great calls. We talked about demographics. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. Go to my website, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. There's a contact button. Those emails come straight to me.